In every other sport, there's two teams, and there's a winning team and there's a losing team. In my sport, there's 40 teams, and there's one winner and 39 right. losers. So you have to get used to not associating your worth and who you are as a person with the number next to your name. Just knowing that I'm a child of God, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus, that puts things in so much better perspective that I'm not identified with being a race car driver. That's just part of who I am.
Hey everybody, welcome to a new episode of the Roman Gabriel Show. Coming in with me, well, we just got finished with Super Bowl 54 in the NFL, but there's another Super Bowl coming. We caught up right before the Daytona 500 with number 10 Stuart Haas Racing and Smithfield brand number 10 Eric Almirola joins us right here on the Roman Gabriel Show. And a really cool thing about him is if you go to his Instagram page, he says, "I drive cars really fast for a living." And you'll find out in this interview about what 225 miles an hour at Daytona is all about. He's also a product of the diversity program way back in NASCAR. Joe Gibbs, Reggie White, they're the ones that gave him an opportunity, and Eric Almirola has made the best of each and every one. Enjoy this conversation with the number 10 driver, Stuart Haas Racing, Eric Almirola.
As you know, the Roman Gabriel Show isn't just about a podcast, a radio show, or a TV show. We have a much bigger mission, and that is to change and to help the next generation of youth. So go to our official site at soldouttv.com. You can donate one time, or you can give as a regular giver. Whatever you can give, we need it from you. Thank you for your donation, and thank you for being a part of our team.
And I love football, but I love NASCAR and Sprint Cup. I'm a North Carolina guy. I got the number 10 car, Smithfield's. Eric Almirola is with us 2 weeks from their Super Bowl, which is Daytona 500. Eric, how are you, brother?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Great to see you, man.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm a big fan. I got a good buddy of mine, Ronaldo Wynn, who's at Joe Gibbs Racing.
Yeah.
And former Redskin.
That's where I started.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
so
right.
Yeah. So Joe Gibbs and Reggie White.
Yes.
Started a diversity program, a diversity initiative.
Yes.
And that's how I got my opportunity. My family, my dad and his family are Cubans. They came over from Cuba in '66 on the Freedom flights, and so that was my breakthrough. That was my chance. When Reggie and Coach
That's
Gibbs
awesome.
Started that opportunity.
I did not know
yeah.
that. And you and I are similar because my grandfather came over from the Philippines.
Oh, is
and my
that
dad
right?
was the first Filipino player in the NFL.
Nice.
Played quarterback for the Eagles and Rams for 18 years. So,
yeah.
Yeah, we got a little in common there.
That's right. Everybody needs that chance, that opportunity.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody's got a story. No matter
awesome.
What it is, everybody has a story and how they got that opportunity.
Well, that's what this show is all about, is telling people stories. You know, we cover sports, but it's more about covering people like yourselves because people have a story, and that's what fans want to know, right?
Right. That's right. Yeah. I think people oftentimes see the figure, the sports head, and the guy on TV, but they don't know a whole lot about the background and how they got to where they're at. So I love telling my story. It's a story of many ups and downs, but so is most.
So tell me this. Well, we have a lot of fans that out there have fast cars, love to drive fast, and, you know, this has been a big deal for guys for a long time. What is it like, you know, just for the regular guy out there to be at Daytona and to be going over 200 miles an hour with people about that far from you on each side?
Yeah, it is so intense. You can't even really describe it. So most time people underestimate race car drivers as athletes. They don't think we're athletes. But the reality is that we operate in very extreme conditions. The inside of the race car is about 130 degrees. We see heart rates, in that zone 2, zone 3 heart rate, which is about what a marathon runner sees for 3 hours. We're in some pretty extreme conditions, working pretty hard. And, oh, by the way, we're going 200 miles an hour, you know, 1 inch apart from the guy next to us and in front and behind us. It's really, really hard to let that sink in for somebody. The best way I can describe it is if you're going down the interstate, say, at 80 miles an hour.
Which I've unfortunately not going to say.
I'm sure you have.
Yes, I have.
And you have a semi-truck, and you're kind of tailgating the semi-truck. And then you look in your mirror, and there's a semi-truck tailgating you. And, oh, by the way, there's a semi-truck on each side of you on other lane. You can't see where you're going. You can't see in front of you. You can't see behind you. You can't see on the sides. you're just going off a feel, and you're gauging your next move and everything off of the cars around you.
Okay, so on game day, Daytona 500, when you come to the track, how early do you come to the track?
So I actually stay at the track. I have a motorhome, an RV bus, and I actually stay at the track. So most every racetrack we go to has a designated compound for all the drivers to stay in.
So that's what's the difference between football and other sports is, you know, you have this routine of hotel, bus,
right,
to the stadium
four
hours before, and then you go into this preparation mode.
So I still have very much of a routine.
So what's the routine for you from the time you step out of that bus to when you get in that car and start it up?
Yeah, so for us, it's a lot different than what it is for stick and ball sports. So we rely heavily on corporate sponsorship to be able to race and do what
Smithfield
we do.
Smithfield Racing,
that's
baby.
That's right. So without them, I don't have a job.
Right.
So it's really about keeping your corporate partners happy throughout race weekend. So the first thing I do, you know, obviously wake up, eat a good breakfast, do all of those things. And then usually about 3.5-4 hours before the start of the race, I'm doing corporate, you know, sponsor meet and greets. I'm meeting different partners for our race team, whether it's Smithfield, Ford Motor Company.
So you're doing public relations.
I'm doing public relations stuff before the game.
Yeah,
before
which
the
is
race.
Insane.
It is, and it's unlike any other sport for sure.
So you have the ability to compartmentalize, obviously.
Obviously, yeah, I have to. You know, you get in this. It's so routine for me. I'm going on my ninth season in the Cup Series.
It's so
routine. You just get in this rhythm. Like you knock out these things.
So when's the first time after the PR marketing where you begin to laser focus on the race?
After the driver's meeting. So the driver's meeting is always 1 hour before driver introductions, and then driver introductions is usually always 1 hour before the start of the race where the green flag drops. So 2 hours before the start of
the race,
starting
to focus.
We had the driver's meeting. You're really starting to focus and think about the game plan for the day, the setup changes you've made to the race car, all of those things. You're starting to download with your crew chief, who's kind of like the quarterback, the team captain.
Offensive coordinator.
The offensive coordinator. And so you're kind of going through all of those things with your crew chief and your engineers. What changes did they make to the setup and all those things? And then after the driver's meeting is kind of, I've got an hour window when that's over to get ready, get my fire suit on, eat some food, because from that point forward, I'm not going to eat again for the next 5 hours.
Yeah.
You know, and so just really preparing and getting ready to, and then once I leave the bus for driver introductions, it's on. You go out, you go get introduced in front of the crowd and all the fans. You walk across the stage, you take a parade lap around the racetrack, and then you go and you get dropped off at your race car on pit road, and they sing the national anthem, and you get ready for the race.
Well, what's crazy to me is, and we're with Eric Amarillo at Smithfield Racing, the number 10 car getting ready for the Daytona 500, and I've been to the Coca-Cola race in Charlotte, and on you know, when you're right outside your car after the national anthem, you still have like partners and friends and people like 5 feet from you, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, so that's you know, that's one thing that's also very unique about our sport is that they can get access to the athlete all the way up to the event. Like right before we get in our race cars to go take off for the race, we're still, you know, taking pictures next to our race car with corporate partners and VIPs.
So where's the adrenaline level when they say, "Gentlemen, start your engine, man"? When you're in there and you start it up, and it's Daytona 500, Super Bowl time for you guys.
Honestly, so like on a scale of 1 to 10, when they say, "Gentlemen, start your engines," it's at like a 6 or a 7. You're fired up, you're ready, but it's not like your adrenaline level's not through the roof yet. But then you take off of pit road and you start cruising around for the pace laps. And then when they give the one lap to go, like this is the last parade lap, we're getting ready to come back to the green flag, it's at 11. Yeah, it's so intense.
Okay, so one of the things about our show is about mentorship, and it's about having people around you that that encourage you, people that inspire you.
Yeah.
You came in at the height of Sprint Cup racing. I mean, Jeff Gordon Jr., Jimmy Johnson, you go down the line. Who was your guy that you looked up to, you know, before you became a Sprint Cup racer when you were at the lower level coming up?
Yeah. So I really looked up to my boss, Tony Stewart.
Yeah, Tony. I forgot about that.
So Tony was at Joe Gibbs Racing when I first got there. And Tony took me under his wing and treated me awesome, like a little brother, and really kind of taught me a lot of the ins and outs about the sport, a lot of what not to do politically.
Yeah.
You know, he was always very brash and very opinionated, and he was always like, man, just don't do what I do. Like, and so he was very, very, very good for me. And then, besides Tony, Jimmy Johnson, I just respect the guy so much. He's so accomplished in our sports, you know, 5 championships in a row, 7 total championships, and yet so humble and so down to earth. And I just respect that so much and look up to that.
As you know, the Roman Gabriel Show is not just about a podcast, TV show, or radio show. I have a passion for this, a passion for the next generation of young people, junior high, high school, and college students. You know, I had a family member who was an alcoholic, so it touched me personally. And we want to help your students to be drug and alcohol abstinent and to teach them critical life skills. So we're all about educating, encouraging, and challenging students to live a life of alcohol abstinence and teaching them success principles through our 365 Success Principles on video. Go to our official website at soldouttv.com, hit donate, and you can give monthly or one time. We want you as a Sold Out team member.
Okay, so there's one thing, and we're with Eric Amarillo, number 10 Smithfield car, getting ready for the Daytona 500 right here on the Roman Gabriel Show. Go to RomanGabrielShow.com. I'll just ask you some quick questions because I want to make sure we, for our fans, we get an idea. Just some quick answers.
Yeah.
Jeff Gordon.
All-time great. Yeah.
Junior.
Man, just a super popular. Yeah, super popular, great story.
Joe Gibbs.
Incredible human being and so accomplished and really taught me that it's about people.
And that's who he is, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So tell me, in terms of Daytona 500 this year, what are your expectations? Obviously, you're going to want to win, but, I mean, where are you guys at in terms of your preparation?
We're in a really good spot. I feel really good about it. We've run really good at the Super Speedway races. You know, in 2018, I was half a lap away from winning the Daytona 500. So close.
Yes.
And last year we ran really well, ran up front, and was very competitive. So, you know, we've been right there. I've won at Daytona in July in the Cup car. I've won at Daytona in an Xfinity car.
Just not the Daytona 500.
Just not the Daytona 500. That's the only box I have left to check at Daytona.
So this is a big one for
it's
you.
A
you
big
feel
one.
Good about
yeah.
it. Okay, so a lot of people ask this all the time. You're going 200-plus miles an hour for 3 hours. A lot of you guys are faith-based guys. So my question is, I would think that thinking about God would be something that you do more than one time when you're in this position.
Yeah, you do.
And you have a family, too.
I do.
So every time you go out, they've made it safe, but
that's right.
You guys
yeah,
are in danger.
There's always risk, right? There's always risk. I mean, there's risk if I walk out the door and
sure.
walk around South Beach. You know.
So what does faith, family, and racing mean to you?
It means everything. And really, it's in that order, faith, family, and racing. And for me, it's taken me a while, but I've finally got my priorities straight. For much of my life, it was racing, family, and faith somewhere down here when I needed it.
Sure.
And then over the years, it's really transitioned to faith and family and racing. And so for me, it's so important. You know, my sport, like much other sports, but in every other sport, there's two teams, and there's a winning team and there's a losing team. In my sport, there's 40 teams, and there's one winner and 39
right.
losers.
Like golf.
And, right. And so most oftentimes, you're going to be a loser. I mean, if you have a great year, you win 4 or 5 races. Well, that means in 38 race schedule, that means that you lose 33 times. So you have to get used to not associating your worth and who you are as a person with the number next to your name. And that's the hardest thing about our sport is you put so much value in your competition level and racing and being competitive that when you finish sixth, you're like, man, I suck today.
Well,
you know, and that's not true. It's lies.
Right.
It's all lies. And so just knowing that, you know, I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. That puts things in so much better perspective that, you know, I'm not identified with being a race car driver. That's just part of who I am.
one of the things we talk about is platform, and you just talked about it. And people ask, well, why is it so important that it be faith in God, family, and then my passion or career?
Yeah.
And the question I want you to answer for our fans is, because I get asked this a lot, is well, when it does get out of sequence, what are the results or the consequences? What, for you, what was that like? You said before when that wasn't always true, or yeah, you struggled with that.
So for me, when that wasn't true in a performance-based business, when that's not true, man, you go through these incredible peaks and these incredible valleys. When things are good, man, you are on such an emotional high and you are so proud of yourself and have such a big ego. And when things are bad, you are so embarrassed and ashamed of yourself and so depressed. And faith keeps everything so level and so constant. And like you have this consistency in contentment. And when you don't have that, when your priorities are out of whack, man, you get so caught up in listening to the world. And the world is so full of lies. Like, the world is telling you what to think for yourself. And it's not true. The Bible and Jesus tell you what to think about yourself. And when you know that, we're just here on this earth for a short time, and that one day, we have the opportunity for eternity.
Right.
It really changes your perspective.
So that balance that helps you stay in perspective obviously must impact your wife and children.
Absolutely. And that's been my first, and most important discipleship is my wife and my kids. It does me no good to come on a platform like this and talk about God and Jesus and all those things if I'm not acting it out in my own home.
Right.
That's the most important place for me to grow, the Christian following, and create disciples and be a mentor is for my own two kids.
Right.
I want them to be raised in a family that believes in God and believes in Jesus and puts them on a trajectory for the rest of their life to be able to have eternity. And and then it trickles down from there.
Sure. Eric Amarola is with Smithfield Racing number 10, getting ready for the Daytona 500 in 2 weeks. And Eric, what's the most fond memory or the biggest moment so far in your career that you hold on to?
2018, so just 2 years ago, winning in the playoffs. So I made the playoffs. I won in the playoffs at Talladega, and that catapulted us to the final round to be able to make it to the championship.
Yeah.
And came up so close. But that win at Talladega was so clutch. I mean, I had to win that race to be able to advance to the next round of the playoffs. And we were able to go there and under, extreme circumstances and pressure and all those things to be able to come through with a clutch win. That was a big, big deal.
Final question right here on the Roman Gabriel Show with Eric Amarola, number 10 Smithfield team. What would it mean to win the Daytona 500?
Man, it would mean so much. I don't want to say it would mean the world because there's so many
right.
other things that are very important in
but
my life.
But for a race car driver, like the Chiefs and the Niners, right?
That's
this
right.
is the big one.
This is the big one. The Daytona 500 is our Super Bowl.
Right.
It is such a big deal. And I grew up in Tampa, Florida. So I went to Daytona so
yeah.
often and watched the Daytona 500. I have so many great childhood memories of the Daytona 500. I've won at Daytona in the Cup Series just in July. I've never won the February race for the Daytona 500. So I really want to check that box.
Well, Eric, this has been a real pleasure.
Thank you.
Appreciate
Thanks,
you
Roman.
Coming
I
on
appreciate
the
you
Gabriel
having me.
Show.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be pulling for you in a couple weeks at Daytona. And you need to let me know. We need to stay in touch. When you come to Charlotte, I'd love to come out and watch you race and
Absolutely.
Come down and
see Love
you.
To have you.
Eric Amarola right here on the Roman Gabriel Show, getting ready for the Daytona 500. We're at the Super Bowl. He's getting ready for his Super Bowl in 2 weeks. Eric,
That's
thanks
right.
for the time.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, brother.
Yep.
Thanks so much for listening to the Roman Gabriel Show. If you enjoy the podcast, please leave a rating and review on iTunes, and be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
The Roman Gabriel Show is produced in partnership with Revoice Media. Executive producers Roman Gabriel, Nick Ruffini, and Kirsten Cluthi. Audio editing by Justin Thomas, and graphic design by Catherine Wade. For more music and entertainment podcasts, check out RevoiceMedia.com.